Welcome to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My guest is Tanya Ugaritz, the director of the Cyber Threat Intelligence Integration Center. Tanya, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
So this is another special edition of Ask the CIO. You are not a quote-unquote chief information officer, but that's okay for the show because we're looking at Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and this is a part of our coverage. So, and the CTIC is playing a huge role in the federal government's attempt to deal, to address, to fight back against all the cyber hacks and all the challenges that come with it. So let's just start at the beginning. The CTIC was developed just about a year ago or so, or actually came to full operational capability about a year ago. Talk a little bit about your impact over the last year and tell us how things have been going.
I think before I describe our impact, it's important to give a little bit of background about why CTIC was created. First, to think about what makes cyber threat intelligence and understanding the threats that we face challenging in the first place. And there's a few different things that we're working on that we're hoping will address that. So first, it's just the nature of the information. And it's especially important as we think about all the efforts during this month, which is National Cybersecurity Month. So the nature of the information when we're talking about cyber threats to U.S. national interests is that, of course, we're starting with what typically is very technical information that's coming from many different sources, both in the U.S. government and from private cybersecurity organizations. And that type of threat information needs quite a bit of work in terms of processing, assessment, understanding before it's even in a form that the intelligence community or even private security analysts can try to apply some sense-making to it and see where it fits in with the broader picture. That information, as I described, comes from a variety of sources within the government, from our law enforcement partners, from the agencies that are responsible for defense of our networks, from the intelligence community, and then again from the growing, extremely capable private cybersecurity firms as well. And then oftentimes, at least for us within the U.S. government, intelligence about especially foreign cyber threats to U.S. national interests for very legitimate purposes masks information about victims, primarily when they are U.S. persons. And that makes it challenging to know which different pieces of threat information correlate with each other. So that just gives you a little bit of the backdrop for why this field is a bit challenging. But then if you go back to when the conversations were happening about the creation of a threat intelligence center for cyber, I think it was right around the time when the U.S. government was in the midst of realizing the scope and scale of the OPM breach and in the months prior had dealt with the cyber attack against Sony Pictures. And even as outstanding work was being done by the existing federal cyber centers and the departments and agencies, I think there was a growing realization that there were a few gaps in how we were addressing the threat. There wasn't a central location that was producing coordinated assessments of the current cyber threats that we're facing, and no single entity responsible for ensuring that that type of information was shared rapidly among the existing cyber centers and departments and agencies, as well as policymakers, and ensuring that all those partners have the information they need to quickly make informed decisions. So those are the primary gaps that CTIC was created to address.
CTIC was modeled in many ways after the Terrorism Threat Center, and with the same kind of ideas of that central belly button that can then pass the information out. So as you said, the agencies, the departments, the policymakers are all working from, if you will, the same sheet of paper.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we are one of four multi-agency intelligence centers under the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and each of those centers has that shared mission of intelligence integration, but we also differ in important ways. So NCTC, of course, with the counterterrorism mission, is a very large organization and has authorities that have been defined for it in the IRTPA and elsewhere. CTIC is a very different, it's similar in some ways, but very different as well. First, we are much smaller in scope. And I think that's because we are coming into a federal cyber community that's somewhat mature and continuing to mature, where there are existing federal cyber centers within individual departments and agencies who are that are operational and that have different pieces of responsibility for addressing threat and mitigation. CTIC's role is really more of a support function. We're the point that is integrating what those centers and what the departments and agencies that play a role in cyber threat intelligence are producing. So I think it's important in that context to be clear about what we are not. CTIC is not operational. We don't recommend or execute operational decisions. And we think that's a benefit because that gives us a bit of objectivity. We very purposely do not have a direct role with the private sector or with state and local law enforcement. And that is because there was a very clear focus when CTIC was being formed to ensure that we were not duplicating effort. So the FBI and DHS have very clear relationships and authorities for interacting with the private sector and with state and local law enforcement. And I think those entities would be the first to say that, you know, they don't need another federal organization kind of making it more confusing about who they should be interacting with. So our role in that sense is, again, very much a support role. We will support FBI and support DHS from the perspective of the intelligence community by providing them information that they can in turn share with their partners.
I think that's a great explanation of really where CTIC sits in this whole ecosystem of cybersecurity, because I think people initially said, well, what is CTIC going to do that US CERT doesn't do? Mm-hmm. Or what will CTIC do that other parts of DHS, whether the fusion centers or whoever, aren't already doing? And so I think the way you presented it obviously makes things more clear. You're not in the operations. You're kind of almost like a conduit of sorts. Hey, this is important. You should pay attention to this. Now, what you do with it after that point, maybe you say, we can recommend, we can push, we can encourage. But at one point, the experts at DHS, FBI, other agencies really will have to say, how do we operationalize that?
Right. And that's very much the case. And I think we're fortunate that that was the focus from the outset, so that when the president directed the DNI to establish the center and ODNI was given kind of the ticket for making that happen, they pulled together the agencies that are the leads in generating cyber threat intelligence and kind of got in a room and said, you know, what gap is it we're trying to fill? And so those departments and agencies, the ones you can imagine would be most concerned about duplication of effort, were actually in the room helping to shape the center and ensuring that we would be something that would add value and not distract or duplicate.
So give me a sense of how the CTIC is working today. What types of things are you doing? I know some of it may be sensitive, so even if you can just talk generally, that'd be great. If you can do that, give me a sense of what you guys are doing today.
As I laid out the challenges that the, kind of the community as a whole faces at the outset, the way we're organized is to address those challenges. And you or your listeners can look online and search for the president's memorandum that directed the establishment of CTIC from February 2015, and you can see the five mission responsibilities that we were given. And they really focus on those gaps of providing integrated all-source intelligence, increasing situational awareness, ensuring that information is moving to where it needs to go, and also helping to ensure that our policymakers and decision makers at all levels have the information they need to make informed decisions, not only kind of on a day-to-day level about cyber threat, but even on broader issues such as how do we formulate whole-of-government options to counter our cyber adversaries? So I can speak about a couple of those in more detail if you'd like.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. A little more specifics around kind of the day-to-day stuff would be helpful.
Sure. We've taken all that and boiled it down to three primary lines of business, which we term building awareness, integrating analysis, and identifying opportunities. And when we speak of where we've come since being authorized by Congress in December 2015 to where we are now in October, not quite a year, we've been building capacity in those three lines of business gradually. So the building awareness piece has really been our bread and butter at the very outset. So when we look at situational awareness, it can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. It can mean just making sure somebody's seen a piece of information, but we are taking it a step further because our mission, as we see it, is to build understanding of the cyber threat. And we address that in a couple ways. One is to ensure that when we identify new threat information that we feel is significant, we have to ensure that we're explaining to customers why we're highlighting it. And we do that by working very extensively with our partners in the other cyber centers, in the other departments and agencies to add context. So if you were to look at a piece of reporting as we receive it and looked at it in isolation, you know, it would be fairly tactical in nature, and it may not really explain to you what the motivation is behind the actor conducting the activity or what the significance is of the organization or the network that's being targeted. So our analysts anticipate and address those questions on the front end, and they really work the phones. They reach out and coordinate with all their counterparts throughout the community, and what we do is build products that address all those questions. So we're not only highlighting new threat information, but we're also saying, and here's a way to think about it. Here's how to place it in a broader context so you see where it fits in the bigger story. And just kind of as an anecdote, the way I think about it, earlier in my career, I'm an FBI intelligence analyst by background, and I was the intelligence briefer to FBI Director Mueller. And this was just a couple years after 9/11, and I would brief him daily on kind of the daily compendium of threats that the intelligence community put together from counterterrorism actors. And the volume was so great that eventually he would turn to me and ask, you know, which of these do I really need to worry about? And I think that's some of the service that we're providing here by raising some of the relevant reporting above the noise and explaining, you know, not only pointing out here's the ones we think you need to be concerned with, but some of the why as well.
And is this kind of a one-pager maybe for the secretary or deputy secretary, but maybe, and I know I'm making this up, a five-pager for the chief information security officers, and you give different levels and different details to different people across government?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I spoke about situational awareness meaning different things. The second part of that, in addition to increasing understanding or related to that, is that we put a lot of care and effort into making what we put together accessible and important to a broad range of customers. And we are a very small center and growing our capacity. So I think that will be an area of development over this next year in terms of your question of developing different versions of products for different customers and people with different levels of access. But right now, the feedback we've received is that we're hitting a sweet spot where the information is such that it's plain English and accessible to a broad range of customers, and it's also informing policymakers all the way to kind of line analysts and operators. And I know there are some purists in the community who would say, you know, if you're trying to please every customer, you're probably not pleasing everyone. But we think for the time being, we're doing a good job of hitting that sweet spot.
Excellent. Tanya, let me jump in here. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to go into those other two focus areas, lines of business, as you described it. My guest is Tanya Ugaritz, the director of the Cyber Threat Intelligence Integration Center. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com at 1500 AM.
You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec. Now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO. We're talking with the Cyber Threat Intelligence Integration Center Director, Tanya Ugaritz, for a special edition of Ask the CIO because of National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Now, Tanya, before break, you were going through the different lines of business for the CTIC today. You talked all about situational awareness. Talk a little bit about the next two lines of business around building analysis capabilities and then also identifying other opportunities around cyber threat sharing.
The second major line of business we have is integrating analysis. So in this regard, I think about something that the 9/11 Commission stated, which is that a smart government would integrate all sources of information to see the enemy as a whole. And I think that's something we're challenged with at times in the cyber community, because we can tend to look at the cyber activity in isolation. And it's really best understood and anticipated if we can look more broadly at cyber as a means to an end and think about, you know, what are the motivations of the actors who are behind it? And when we're talking about foreign cyber threats to U.S. national interests, which is our focus, typically we're talking about nation-state actors, but not always. But what we want to be able to understand is, you know, what are those actors' motivations and intent and capabilities, and how does that impact not only what cyber activity we currently see them doing, but what we as a community assess they might try to do in the future to put us in a position of being able to detect and ideally disrupt or deter it. So our analysts look at working with a very broad community of counterparts in the U.S. intelligence community who look not only at, you know, technical information and the cyber-specific activity, but they also work with regional analysts, leadership analysts, people who understand the geopolitical context in which these state actors are acting. And in that way, again, through our analysis, try to give a fuller picture of what's happening.
So the idea behind that is it's not just understanding why this attack is happening today, but what's the broader motivation? What's the long-term impact, not just of the attack, but of this? Hey, we're not going to pick on a country, but we see country X, we usually see most of the attacks coming from country X. Today, we're seeing an attack coming from a neighbor of country X, country Y. We have to figure out why that's happening. Is it just coming from, because attribution is so hard, you have to kind of look backwards and say, is this actually coming from country Y, or is this actually coming from country X through country Y to mask it? It's all those types of things that's what this integration of analysis is trying to do in some ways.
That's true, and you're right about attribution, and part of the methodology for assigning responsibility or trying to look at different scenarios for attribution is looking at who would logically, you know, either conduct an intrusion or seek to acquire a certain type of data that's being exfiltrated, and also trying to understand after that's occurred, how might they use it, and so what ongoing threat might be posed by that activity. The other piece of the integrating analysis is, I think I've spoken mostly about kind of the challenges of integrating information to understand threats that are emerging. But we also have a responsibility to help the community integrate information more when we're in the midst of responding to a cyber incident. So recently, in July, the administration issued a new presidential policy directive, PPD 41, that assigns responsibilities to agencies to perform lead roles in response to a significant cyber incident. And agencies with those roles are FBI, DHS, and ODNI, acting through CTIC. And our piece of that is providing intelligence support. We're the lead for intelligence support in response to a significant cyber incident. And a big part of that is in the midst of what may be kind of a rapidly evolving situation with a lot of information being generated by the FBI and DHS, sector-specific agencies, the private sector, others, being able to pull that together into a coherent picture to give a clear sense of, you know, what do we know about what's occurred? What do we know from various sources? What do we assess the impact might be? And just being able to give kind of a very clear, consolidated picture that helps inform subsequent decision-making.
And I think part of that is, you're right, when something happens, where do you go? And then what information do we have? And can we all work off that same sheet of paper? I think it goes back to what we were talking about in the last segment, which is delivering kind of a standard message, if you will, or a standard set of information so everyone can start at the same point. Whether they go left or go right, that's a whole different discussion, but at least we're all starting at the starting line. I mean, is that a lot of how you guys look at it as well?
Yes, I think, you know, we can't overstate the importance of just having a common baseline to work from. And, you know, early in my career, I kind of grew up as a terrorism analyst. And so I, you know, participated in many command posts, many situations where we were responding to rapidly evolving situations. And, you know, just having the one place to go to for a clear, consolidated picture of what's happening to cut through the noise is very valuable.
I think people forget that, and I think it's one of the things. You brought up the 9/11 Commission as an example, the connecting the dots. It's a very familiar term now, but really in cybersecurity, it becomes that much also more important as the threats change and as it's easier to mask and really make it less obvious of where the attack is coming from and why the attack is happening. Let's go to the last line of business around opportunities.
That, briefly stated, is about ensuring that, again, we don't look at the cyber issue too narrowly. I think in the public imagination in particular, there may be a tendency to think that, you know, if we are the victim of a cyber attack, we need to respond in kind through cyber means. And the reality is, just as with other issues, often the U.S. government formulates its responses by thinking about how they would integrate a variety of measures, which may be through diplomacy, financial measures, intelligence, military actions, what have you, into an overarching strategy. And it's about using the right tool for the right circumstance. So CTIC's role in this is, again, very much of a support role. We don't recommend or execute any operational activity or options, but what we are is the neutral venue where the interagency can come together and have those conversations about what options are available, what would help meet the overall strategic goal, what the risks and benefits are of different courses of action, how we would account for kind of the bigger picture of how various options might impact other national equities. And the whole goal of that is to help inform decision making. So pulling all of those inputs together and presenting them in a way that leads to what we call decisionable decisions. Because it's challenging, too, in this kind of newer field, I think, of cybersecurity, to always be able to have decision makers feel comfortable thinking through what will be the impact of this action.
Let's take a quick break. My guest is Tanya Ugaritz, the director of the Cyber Threat Intelligence Integration Center. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com at 1500 AM.
You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO. We're talking with the Cyber Threat Intelligence Integration Center Director, Tanya Ugaritz, for a special edition of Ask the CIO because of National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Tanya, good job of really describing the lines of business, how CTIC is going so far. One logical question I got to follow up with, and I know it may be a little sensitive, is how many employees currently work within the CTIC? And if you can give me a sense of, are they detailees? Are they full-time equivalents, so to speak? Give me a sense of who makes up the CTIC.
So as I mentioned, we are small. I would say we number in the dozens of personnel. And I think one of our strengths, as with the other ODNI centers, is that we are multi-agency. So we include personnel from across the federal cyber community. And that's been really important to us in this first year as we build capacity and probably most importantly build our relationships, is that, you know, our personnel here who, you know, really are reflective of the community that has a stake in cyber issues, they have that reach back to their home organizations and can help us build those relationships. My leadership team, for example, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a career FBI analyst. My deputy director comes from NSA. And then my research director, who's our head of analysis, is a career CIA officer.
Do most people, generally speaking, again, come from the intelligence community, or you have civilian agencies like a DHS or even, who knows, an energy department type of cyber expert? Is it a mix?
It is a mix. So, and I think that's an important point. You know, when I spoke earlier about needing to make the cyber threat information accessible, it's important for us to think broadly about the range of people in the federal government and, you know, the range of missions that they're responsible for, who need to know and understand cyber threats, and that we are representative of that in our personnel and our thinking. So we do have personnel from the intelligence community. We have personnel who are from organizations who kind of, you know, straddle the intelligence community, like DHS, as you mentioned, you know, who have components that are in the intelligence community, but also components like their cyber center, the NCIC, that are not technically part of that. And we do also have personnel from other agencies like the Department of Energy who can bring that perspective as well.
And as cyber threats change and morph and get more, you know, there's a whole worry about the SCADA systems, you know, the internal, the industrial control systems, and so on and so forth. Having those different perspectives, I'm sure, can only be helpful to really understanding, as you said, motives and reasons and detecting and deterring future potential threats and attacks.
Right. It is important for us, but then, you know, because we are small, we by no means anticipate being able to cover the whole waterfront in terms of having all those different, you know, aspects of expertise that are required, you know, right now to understand all the different types of issues that we face. So, you know, the strength here is that we have such a diversity of people that, you know, if we don't have the knowledge here, we can reach out elsewhere. And really, everything, we don't really do anything in isolation here. As an integration center, everything we're doing is in partnership with the rest of the community. And that includes our analysis. It's actually important for me to say that, you know, we are not kind of adding another voice to the, you know, many agencies who may publish analyses on cyber threat issues. What we are integrating is the intelligence community's coordinated assessment of cyber threat issues. So just like we spoke earlier about how in the aftermath of an incident, you want a clear picture of who is doing what to whom and why and what we're doing in response, analytically as well, when decision makers want to know what do we collectively assess is going on, who do we collectively assess is behind something. CTIC is the one who brings together the community on cyber threat issues to provide that integrated assessment. But that doesn't mean that we're watering it down to a lowest common denominator that everyone can agree on. What it means is that we bring the community together, and we're very clear and transparent, as I think we all are in the intelligence community, about what we can agree on and with what level of confidence, but also, importantly, what we disagree on and why, and what are the gaps in our understanding that collectively as a community we can address that would help us increase our confidence in what we assess.
I think that it's a great kind of summation of kind of the current state of CTIC and where you guys have come from over the last year. So let's look forward now a little bit. You hit initial operating capability. Let's look at full operating capability. How do you get there over the next 6 or 9 months?
So there's a few things we're thinking about in that regard. One is just kind of a maturation of the center itself. We really hit the ground running when we received authorization back in December, and we're doing a little bit of stock taking at this point, looking at our processes, ensuring that we're documenting them clearly, that we're doing things in the, you know, kind of most efficient way possible to achieve our mission. And we're already thinking ahead because we are a multi-agency center and we do have a proportion of detailees. How do we do succession planning? How do we pass down institutional knowledge? And how do we clearly document our processes and even some of these things about what we do and don't do that, you know, we've all internalized here but might not necessarily be written down on a piece of paper? So that's one area. Another is something we touched on earlier in the conversation, which is expanding our ability to reach more customers with our work. Right now, as we've been growing, we've kind of been focusing on doing a version of a product and trying to put that out. But as we build capacity and have more resources in terms of personnel and production, kind of the whole tail that, you know, helps support all the important pieces of producing quality analytic products, we want to look at how do we reach other parts of the community who maybe don't have access at their desktops to highly classified information, or who work other functional or regional missions that aren't specifically cyber, but who would benefit from knowing this activity that maybe the actor they follow in another context is doing. So we did a lot of outreach in this first year, but we're anticipating another kind of extensive wave of that to spread the word about us and also see how we can reach a broader community. Another thing I would mention is a focus on information sharing. We do have a mission that was assigned to us in the president's memo to help ensure information is moving where it needs to and support our partners, particularly FBI, DHS, DOD, in being able to share information with their counterparts who fall outside of the federal government. So we're already having conversations with those partners in the ways that we can best support them. And then lastly, I would mention continued work on this concept of working with the community on common ways of characterizing threat and building our capacity to be able to assess how are we doing in response to the threat. So there's initiatives we've worked on here at ODNI to develop a common lexicon called the Cyber Threat Framework that again, it's something as simple as ensuring that we in the community and hopefully even outside the community are using common terminology when we're describing different types of activity by threat actors. And what that's going to enable us to do is to hopefully increase our ability to compare apples to apples and do some meaningful trend analysis over time so that we can see, you know, when we do get questions about is activity increasing or decreasing or, you know, are things moving in a certain way that we can give really well-informed answers to those questions.
I think the common lexicon is something that's huge because in many ways that's what's been missing. I've always talked about enterprise architecture where a boat is a boat is a boat, except for when you start describing a boat, you think of your boat has a sail, mine has a motor, so on and so forth. Where is the cyber framework in terms of the lexicon at today, and how do you kind of get that, push that forward? I know it's not CTIC's role just to do it, but it's the bigger role of the cyber community or the intelligence and federal community.
That's right. In fact, we have counterparts in the Office of the National Intelligence Manager for Cyber here at ODNI who have really been the leads within the community and with partners in pushing this concept forward. They are developing a framework that will be available publicly at the unclassified level that, you know, hopefully folks can use. And, you know, I don't think there's any assumptions that it's a one-size-fits-all.
Let's take a quick break. My guest is Tanya Ugaritz, the director of the Cyber Threat Intelligence Integration Center. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com at 1500 AM.
You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec. Now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO. We're talking with the Cyber Threat Intelligence Integration Center Director, Tanya Ugaritz, for a special edition of Ask the CIO because of National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Tanya, you mentioned succession planning. I think that's one area in government that unfortunately does not get enough attention. Are you using any special tools, any way to ensure that as people come and go through CTIC, their detail ends or their time with the CTIC ends and they go back to their home agency, that those processes, those ideas of steps they've taken are, if you will, institutionalized?
We are looking at, you know, the processes we use, and that's something we're looking to document and formalize and at least have accessible as new folks come in. When we do bring people in, we pair them up with a sponsor who has been here for a while, who can kind of take them through and give them a little bit of the backstory and show them how we do things. And we're starting these conversations early with our partners in the community who are the ones who, you know, the agencies where our personnel come from for the most part. And we're having conversations with them about what's sustainable. You know, what does a sustainable CTIC look like as a multi-agency organization? Because resources are finite. Cyber is obviously a growing threat and a growing area of attention. And every manager of talent, you know, in the government has to balance needing people and resources to perform their missions while also supporting employee development and the value of sending their personnel to the ODNI or to other agencies on joint duty assignments. I've been on 3 joint duty assignments now in my federal career, and there's just no substitute for it, for, you know, sitting in another agency as a detailee performing their mission and just learning firsthand, you know, what challenges they face, how they do things, building those contacts, and then bringing it back to your home agency. There's just so much value in it. So, and we, from the CTIC perspective, we want to be seen as a place where, you know, managers want to send their people, that they've, you know, they're not just doing it out of altruism and because they know they have to develop their folks, but really because they're getting something back from it. And we want our staff to feel that way as well. So we're looking at how do we invest in people while they're here at CTIC, whether it's through training, whether it's through opportunities to engage in certain types of meetings and outreach and projects, so that, you know, we're building kind of a well-rounded officer and sending them back to their home agencies even better. And we're very gratified that just in the, you know, the year we've been in existence, several of our employees who are from other agencies have been promoted while they're here. And that's always an important signal back to other folks who are thinking about going somewhere. You know, can I go there and do good work and perform a valuable mission, but also meet my own professional development needs?
And I know the lack of cyber talent just everywhere is so difficult to get a hold of. So when you get somebody who's good, there's also other agencies who don't want to let them go. And then you end up, well, kind of battling. That's an uphill battle across the board for every agency. I know we're almost out of time. Before I let you go, there's a couple other things I just want to touch upon real quick. I know Michael Daniel, the president cyber advisor, said when CTIC was really just getting stood up, it would be great if CTIC was not visible to the outside world. I thought that was a great comment. Is that still the case today? Is that still hold true, given now that you're a year into this?
It is, and we think his characterization of our role is appropriate. You know, we were purposely scoped not to duplicate other people's roles, and that includes, you know, the role with the private sector and non-federal entities. And I think it includes that public piece as well. You can really think about us as working behind the scenes, supporting those other departments and agencies, ensuring they have the type of information they need, and pulling together those integrated analyses and consolidated pictures that they can then go forth and act on and share. So I think you'll continue to see that being the case, and we're happy to let the others kind of go forth and act based on that information.
Tanya, one last question before I let you go. This idea that you guys have been around almost for a year, you're moving toward full operational capability. Give me a sense of how do you know that you guys at the CTIC are making a difference every day? What types of feedback do you get? What types of, you know, when you say, hey, we're making good change, positive change, how do you understand that you're doing that?
One way we think about it is just based on the direct feedback that we receive. So on the work that we're doing to increase situational awareness and to build understanding of emerging threats, we've received feedback from a range of agencies and officials at different levels, just talking about how the work that we're producing has become their go-to reading when it comes out, that it enables them to get a quick snapshot and kind of a first look at what they should be aware of for the day and some ways of thinking about it and putting it in context. And it's helping drive conversation. So when we see things that we've highlighted being taken up as topics in the meetings we participate in the interagency, I can't say we can claim all the credit for that or always draw a direct line of cause and effect.
You should claim a little bit of credit, a little bit of influence, a little bit of positive feedback, right? Because everybody wants to know that what they're doing is making a difference. And obviously, the feedback's great, But the fact is that people are saying it's go-to reading. I mean, listen, we're in the news. I'm in the news business. I wish I was go-to reading every morning, right?
Right. That's certainly, you know, we do appreciate that. Another is that we see some of the ways that we're characterizing threat or terms that we're using or being adopted elsewhere in the community. So some of those issues of, you know, kind of avoiding jargon and, you know, kind of giving clear explanations of how certain types of activity fit into a broader picture, we can see some of that being adopted elsewhere, and we think that will only help increase understanding more broadly. And then I think, you know, when we'll really know we're making a difference is when we see kind of this, you know, these different steps of, you know, the building understanding, the having the integrated analysis, you know, lead all the way through to, you know, departments, agencies, policymakers being able to make informed decisions based on that information. It's often hard to know, especially in the intelligence community, when something that you've done contributes to that, but I'm hoping that over time we'll start to see more and more instances of that.
Excellent, excellent. It's always nice to catch up and get the really great understanding of the impact you're making and the work you're doing. Tanya, I know we could talk a lot longer. This has been a fascinating conversation. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I'd like to thank my guest, Tanya Ugretz, the Cyber Threat Intelligence Integration Center Director. Tanya, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
And Tanya is going to actually continue this conversation through an online chat on October 25th at 1 p.m. Listeners can come to federalnewsradio.com, register, and ask Tanya their own questions. So, Tanya, we look forward to that continued conversation online as well.
As do I. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec on federalnewsradio.com and 1500.